The Scripture is absolutely loaded with bold statements. Statements that sometimes take us aback. They're so bold that we wonder, how could anyone be so bold? As a matter of fact, it started in the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, you remember when Satan, in the form of a serpent, made that bold statement to Eve, "You shall not surely die." Well, it was a lie, but it was a bold statement. Later on in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, when Nathan the prophet went face to face with David the king and told him a story about a rich man that had many, many sheep. But when he decided to entertain a friend, he went to the poor man's flock, which consisted of one sheep, and took the one sheep away from the poor man and killed it and used it as a feast. And David said, "Who is that man? That man should be put to death." And Nathan had the courage to make this bold statement: "David, you are the man." And then in the New Testament, when Jesus had the courage to make the bold statement in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, when he was talking to the Pharisee leaders, he said to them, "He that is not with me is against me." A bold statement. And finally, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 35, when Peter was talking to Jesus, he said, "I will not deny you." A bold statement. One that later was proven not to be true, but yet a bold statement. And in all the Scriptures, though, I don't know if there is any statement any more bold than the one that you see on the screen behind me. When Joshua said in chapter 24 and verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We want to investigate that today. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua? And we'll be looking mostly at chapter 24. We won't go many other places. So if you're a guest, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So if you get to the front and flip back a ways, you'll find it. And we're going to look at chapter 24 of Joshua. But really, we can't look at chapter 24 without starting and getting a little bit of a running start into chapter 23. So if you would, walk along with me through chapter 23 of the book of Joshua, and we'll bring us up to speed and see how chapter 24 actually came into being. Verse 1, the end of that verse, Joshua, this is the King James Version, the 1611 version, so I'll be sounding a lot like Shakespeare. It says, "Joshua waxed old and was stricken in age." Here was Joshua, the great warrior. And for those of you that are guests this morning, aren't familiar with the man Joshua, this was one of the two men, Joshua and Caleb, who started off in Egypt and actually made it across to the Canaan land. There were maybe a million people, but only these two. Joshua, a great warrior. So now this great warrior, one that had been through the wilderness, one that had experienced the Egyptian bondage, one that had fought his way to the promised land, now he's an old, old man. In verse 3, "For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you." I think that's an important lesson and an important verse. Joshua realized that all of these battles he had won, God had fought for them. Boy, that's a good lesson for you and me too. Sometimes if we're feeling a little egotistical, if we're feeling like we're on top of the world, as a matter of fact, we are the world, there's a song, that we are the world, then we need to remember that the battles that have been won, God has fought for us. And then down in verse 6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep all that is written in the book of the law of Moses." He said, our courage comes from these words that Moses has given us and to keep those. And in verse 11, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." And then in verse 14, he said, "I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm going to die. But in your heart and soul, you know that not one thing that God promised us, he has failed to deliver. Not one thing. So this is the man Joshua. And he's leading up to his last and final speech, and he's probably given several of them. Because great generals of great armies give great speeches. Before you're going to send someone into battle, you need to say some good words, not good luck, guys. You're going to give a speech. We can win. And especially if you believe in God with the depth that Joshua believed in God, he gave some unbelievable speeches. And so now beginning and coming into chapter 24, he's going to remind the people again of some significant things. Let's do an overview then of 24 and then we'll get down to some specifics. In verse 1, Joshua calls the people together and it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes together in Shechem, the elders and the heads and the judges and the officers presented themselves unto God." Now here's Joshua. He had the power that when Joshua called the people together, what did they say? "We're busy. My favorite television show was on." When Joshua said, "Come into the presence of God," the people came, and they all were there that day. Verses 2 through 13, Joshua reminds this great gathering of God's people of all of the things that God has done for them, of the multitude of blessings that God has heaped upon them. And if you're a New Testament student, then this should sound much to you like Acts chapter 2. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stood up before unbelievers from many nations and he preached the gospel to them and he reminded them of the great blessings that God had given them. Let's just look down through 2 through 13 here and I'll just highlight some of these things. He starts telling them in verse 2 about Terah and Abraham and Nahor. These were legendary men of the Israelite nation. And then he talks to them in verse 3 about your father Abraham. And in verses 3 and 4 of Isaac and Jacob and Esau. And then about when they went down, the children of Israel of Jacob went down into Egypt. He tells them that story. And then about Moses and Aaron and then the plagues in Egypt. He talks to them in verse 6 about how they came out of Egypt. And in verse 6 about how they crossed the Red Sea. And then in verse 7 about how they wandered in the wilderness. And then later about how they defeated different people, about Balak. And in verse 13 about Balaam and about crossing the Jordan and about the Canaanites and the Gerizzites and the Hittites and the termites and all of the mites that they defeated there. He reminds them in just a few verses about the blessings that God has not given them, but about the blessings that God has heaped upon them, heaped upon them, heaped upon them. And you know, when we stop and think about our blessings, doesn't it make us more open to worship the God that we love? When we stop and examine, but you know the way most of us think, and I'm guilty, we sometimes spend most of our time thinking about what's not right instead of what is right. So like any great speech, he told them first of all what they should be thankful for. And then in verses 14 through 25, after that, after he tells them the blessings, he confronts their neglects. He said, "Although God has done this, we have not always been what we should be to a loving and caring God." And then in verses 26, 27, and 28, he confirms a covenant with them, makes a contract with them that they will remain faithful. And then in verses 29 through 33, we have the record of Joshua's death. So now let's go back, and really, this lesson is about this question. How could Joshua make such a bold declaration? What gave him the right to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? It is a bold statement. And to stand up and say that to all of these people for all of these reasons was certainly something we should look at. But I don't want this to be a walk through history. You could read this yourself. That's not the point of this lesson. The point is, can we look at Joshua? Can we think about what gave him the credibility, the ability to make this bold statement? And can we take some of the things that he built into his life that led up to this point so that we can make such a bold statement? So that we can say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? This wasn't just a spur-of-the-moment thing for Joshua. He had worked on this his entire life. And if we're going to be able to make this statement as well, we need to start today and work on this for the rest of our life so we can make this bold statement. So we're going to march through 10 points so you'll be able to keep score. You'll be able even to start your stopwatch on your iPhone to see how I'm doing as far as time. I'll have you out of here by 1 o'clock. I'm sure I could. No, I'll have you out of here in plenty of time. It'll go quickly because the points aren't complicated, never complicated to understand, somewhat difficult to implement. And isn't that the way life is? Boy, understanding what we ought to do is pretty easy. Having the power and the courage and the determination to do what we need to do so that we can stand boldly before God and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes that's a little more complicated. So, number one, he could make this statement because he was righteous and because the statement was righteous. There was no guile found in this statement. There was no misunderstanding found in this statement. You didn't hear him say, under the right circumstances, and if everything goes as we expect, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are no asterisks at the end of this, said see points 4, 5, and 6 below and see reasons why I may not under contract based on, you know, the things they say at the end of all commercials. They go, and you may die. Okay. I need the lights on. Yeah, just keep the lights on. More important, they see me than the screen. And so no asterisks at the end of this. This was not a flippant statement. This was not an arrogant statement. This was not a self-serving statement. This was not a hypocritical statement. This was a righteous man making a righteous statement. It was not agenda-driven. He was not trying to impress God. He loved God. And he was not trying to impress the people. He was simply saying, here's something I want you to know about me and my family. We're going to serve the Lord. Let me tell you. The world's in need of that. The world is in need of people who will say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The world's in need of people who in a restaurant will say, we're going to pause for prayer and lead a prayer. The world's in need of people that on their break will pull out their Bible and read it instead of just drinking a cola. The world's in need of people who, when they're in line and somebody elbows their way in front of them, will back up and say, certainly, go right ahead. With no guile and with no agenda. This is the kind of man Joshua was. So he could make the statement because it was a righteous statement and he was a righteous man. Number two, he could make the bold statement because he had built personal credibility. His past gave him permission to live in this present. This wasn't something that he just decided that day. This was Joshua. This was Joshua of Numbers chapter 13 and 14, who had gone into the land. Remember, with the 12 spies, 10 were bad, 2 were good. And he'd come back and said with Caleb, we can take the land, when the other 10 thought there was no way. This was Joshua. He had built credibility in Numbers chapter 13. This was Joshua, the Joshua of Exodus chapter 17. When Moses stood on the mountain, you remember when they were fighting Amalek? And Moses stood on the mountain and God had said, hold your hands up, Moses. And as long as Moses held his hands up, then they would win the battle. When Moses' hands started to sag, they would lose the battle. And Joshua was leading the battle in the valley. And so Aaron and Hur came on the other, both sides of Moses and held up his hands. And Joshua led the battle. Here's the point I get for that. Somebody needs to stand on the mountain. Somebody needs to hold up his hands. But somebody's got to be in the valley fighting the battle. That was Joshua. That gave Joshua the credibility. I don't know if anybody said to Moses, great job holding up your hands. Not sure they said that, but let me tell you what they did say. Great job, Joshua. Great job. Fighting the battle of God against the ungodly people, you did a good job. And that was him. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, the scripture says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the children of Israel listened to him." So here's an old man making his last speech who had built a lifetime of personal credibility. He had lived it. He was a hero. He was a leader. He was a servant. He was Moses' right-hand man. I guess the point for us is, cursing daddies will have cursing children. Drinking daddies will have drinking children. Speeding daddies will have speeding children. Joshua had built a life so that he, when he stood up in front of them and said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord," they listened. Because Joshua had not been hypocritical in his life. Joshua was careful that when the end of his life came and he had a chance to make that final speech, that it would stick, that he could deliver because he had lived that kind of life. Number three, Joshua could make this bold statement because it was within his character. It was not a spur-of-the-moment decision. It was not a rash statement. He had been serving God all of his life. This was who he was. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 13, the scripture says, "Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God." When Moses went on Sinai, when the cloud came down, when the fire appeared, guess who was with him? Joshua was on the mountain. And in verse 33, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." So while the other people were in the camp, Joshua was in the tabernacle. This is the kind of man he was. See, when we step out of character and say things that aren't us, people look at us and say, "Really? You serious? Come on." But when we stay within character, when God lives in us, when His Spirit dwells in us, when the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth are the same as the actions we take, then we have credibility. So we can say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Number four, his family was on board. His family was on board. "As for me, I'll serve the Lord." That's one thing. "As for me and my house," that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole different level of confidence. Can you say for you and your house? I can say that for me and my house. I can't say for me and my house about everything. My sons are pretty independent. I've tried to beat them down, but it hasn't worked. They fairly have their own minds about things. They married girls that are the same way, and it looks like the babies are the same way. Yeah, it usually skips a generation, but not with us. So we're all pretty open-minded, free thinkers. We all have opinions. But I'm very pleased to be able to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But Joshua's point to them was not just for them. It was for as his house. He wanted his children to be able to say, "As for me and my house." And Joshua was an old man. He was speaking for a house that included, in those days, his servants. It included his employees. It included the people that lived and took care of the family. It included grandchildren, and probably at this point, because he died at the age of 110, I believe it was, probably great-grandchildren. He was speaking for his house. How can you do that? How can you do that? Well, you got to know them, and they got to know you. You got to know them, and they got to know you. Because if you speak for your house and it ain't so, they will rise up against you. But you don't find a scripture that says here, "And then his children disagreed." Or one of his sons said, Papa, not so fast. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the family was on board. Number five, the choice to Joshua seemed clear. There's no ambiguity and Joshua on this. And when we look at Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, look at this proposition that he makes to the people. He says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," or in other words, if you're having difficulty, this is chapter 24, verse 15. If you're having difficulty making up your mind, let me tell you what your options are. Don't you like options? I do. I used to love, when I was in school years ago, I used to love multiple choice questions. I figured, I have a chance. There's a chance. And so Joshua gave them a multiple choice here. He said, verse 15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether, number one, the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, number two, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or number three, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." To Joshua, when he thought about the gods, those idols in Egypt, not going to serve them. The Amorites, these ungodly people that we're going to fight and defeat, I'm not going to serve their gods. As for me and my house, we're going to serve Jehovah God, the one that led us out of Egypt, the one that guided Abraham, the one that took care of the children of Israel in Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea. For him, these were very, very simple options. And don't you find that in your life? When we have made up our mind, when we've absolutely drawn bright lines and said, here's who we are, here's where we stand, here's what we believe in, then the rest of the choices come pretty easy. I don't have to make a decision about that because this bright line came before. That was a question. So that's not a question. And he is pointing out to them that this is not a question for him. Everybody chooses. Everybody chooses. And he told these people they had to choose too. You don't need to turn here, but I'm going to read John chapter 6, verse 66, 67, 68. And Jesus had just preached a screaming sermon. I mean, an absolute scorcher. One that pinned their ears back. I mean, singed their hair. It was a tough sermon about difficult choices. And verse 66 says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." It got too hot in the kitchen. Some of them walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to his 12 apostles, "Will you also go away?" And I'll tell you, that puts a lump in my throat. When Jesus saw so many people that he knew he was going to die for leave him, when he told them, "You're going to have a price to pay too." That choosing to be a follower of me comes with a cost. And they left him. They wanted all the rewards with none of the downside. They wanted all the pleasures with none of the pain. They wanted all the easy stuff with none of the hard stuff. And I don't know, but if you're over 8, haven't you discovered that ain't so? That life is a mixture. How do you know if something's sweet unless you've tasted something sour? And life is just that way. And Jesus said to them, "Will you leave me too?" And then Peter, who we love so much, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and we are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I think that day in John chapter 6 is not much different than that day in Joshua chapter 24. Jesus called them out. Joshua called them out. He said, "You've got some decisions to make." And Jesus also said in chapter 6 and verse 24 in the Sermon on the Mount, no man can serve two masters. He'll either love one, hate the other, cling to one, reject the other. Man cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and things. And so that's what he's saying here, and the choice seems simple to him. Number 6, he grasped the big picture. He saw the big picture of all this. To Joshua, this was not just a day. To Joshua, this was eternity. In verses 24 through 28, if you'll look there, Joshua chapter 24, and the people said to Joshua, the Lord God, we will serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with them. He made a contract with them. He made a promise with them that they would serve them. And he set up a stone and he said, we'll make this stone a remembrance of this covenant. And Joshua wrote down, verse 26, wrote down those words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and put it up. And it was a sanctuary to the Lord. So Joshua wanted this decision, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, not to be a decision for the day, but to be a decision for the generations. He wanted people to say, as for me and my house, ongoing, generational. And isn't that what every godly family wants? Young people, isn't that what you want? You want your parents to serve the Lord? You want to serve the Lord? You want your children that perhaps will come someday to serve the Lord? And it's generation to generation to generation. Joshua was thinking big picture here, not small picture. Number 7, he could make this bold statement because he had witnessed the power, the mercy, and the grace of God. Remember all of those things that he cataloged that God had done for them? Look in verse 13. And I have given you a land, this is God speaking, and Joshua's quoting him. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build to live in, and vineyards and olive yards which you planted, which you did not plant, but you eat from them. He told them, he said, all these things, are you kidding? You think you built that city? You didn't build that city. You think you planted that vineyard? You didn't plant that vineyard. This is what we have delivered and done for you. And he was a witness of all that. And then he says in verse 14, since all of that is true, he says, now therefore, and listen to this, this is a good sermon in itself. And therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve the Lord. So he says, since all of this is true, you need to fear God and serve him with sincerity and in truth. He had witnessed the power and the mercy and the grace of God. Number 8, he was willing to make this bold statement, and he loved his brethren enough to confront them. Verse 15, I didn't say this as boldly as I will now. Verse 15, part of the real power of that verse is he said, choose you this day who you will serve. Not yesterday. You can't choose yesterday. Yesterday's gone. You can't choose tomorrow. That's too late. He said, choose today who you will serve. He called them out. Choose today. I want to know right now. I want to know right now. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Joshua perhaps said, stand up if you're going to serve God. We want to know who's on our side here. Let me see who's going to serve God. And so he called them out. He said, I want to know. Decide today. And then in verses 21 and 22, he went on to say, and the people said to Joshua, no, about serving these other gods. No, we will serve the Lord. Verse 22. And Joshua said to them, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. In other words, I've taken your deposition. I have taken your deposition. You just said you will serve the Lord. And if someday you decide it's easier not to, me or somebody just like me is going to remind you of what you said on August 31st, 1498, whatever. And we're going to read it back to you. And that's the way a lot of people get caught. When a trial is taking place, they take the deposition months before. And then they call them to the stand. And on the stand, they say, you said this, and you said this, and you said this, and you said this. Now you're going to perjure yourself? Are you going to go along with this? So Joshua, did he play fair? Yeah, he played fair, but he played tough because he loved them enough to know their souls were at stake. He loved them enough to confront them. Decide you this day. Maybe you have a decision to make today. Maybe you'll decide today to serve the Lord. Or maybe someone in your house will decide today to serve the Lord. Number 9, he understood the consequences. It wasn't that he just wanted to make a crazy, bold statement. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, because he understood that decisions have consequences. Look at verses 20 and 21. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. Well, that's the King James Version. He will turn and do you hurt. Anybody misunderstand what that means? That this God, who's done all these things for you, if you turn your back on him, he has no choice but to turn his back on you. Now, he'll always be there when you turn back to him. But if you deny him, he's going to deny you. And the New Testament bears that out. And it goes on to say, and consume you, hurt you and consume you after that he has done you good. This same God that has the power to do all this good, he has the power to hurt as well. He understood that decisions have consequences. And finally, number 10, Joshua was able to make this bold statement because he believed that his stand would make a difference. He believed that him saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, would make a difference. He believed the people were listening. He knew he had influence, and he believed it would make a difference. Look right after he says that in verse 16. The end of verse 15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And verse 15 says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. When Joshua said it, although he had presented the options, they said, God forbid that we should serve other gods. He made a difference. He believed he would make a difference. And let me encourage each one of us to say, you make a difference. You make a difference. When you stand up for Jesus, you make a difference. There are people watching you that you don't know. There are people depending upon you. I mean, there are obvious ones depending upon you, but there are others that you don't even know about that believe. If you believe it, then it's worth investigating, because you are you. Joshua lived his whole life in such a way that when it came down to the end, he could make it stick. How about us? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that's the conclusion of this lesson. And we have decisions to make. Just like these good people in the day of Joshua had a decision to make who they would serve, we have a decision to make. And each one of us make it every day. I don't think there's a man or woman, and by the way, this is not just a man's lesson. Joshua was a man who said this, but every woman ought to be able to say, as for me and my house, come on up, Tim. As for me and my house, every woman ought to be able to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will tell you, there have been times in my life when my good wife has said it louder than me, and I needed her to say it that day. I needed her to say it. She didn't say the words. She lived the life. I needed to see it. There are times when my boys were growing up when they said it louder than me. I needed to see that they were dependent on me to take a stand. I needed to know that they were dependent upon me. What they didn't know was that I was dependent on them. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We want to be able to say that. Every young person in this room, you need to know. There will be a time when your family will need you to be the boldest one in that family. The one who says, I don't think we're too sick to go this morning. I don't think we ought to stay home. Can we read the Bible before we have dinner? Shouldn't we say a prayer here? Young people, you may be the one who draws the brightest line in the family and remind your mom and dad, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But here's one thing I know for sure. If you haven't chosen Jesus, then you can't say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus is the Lord God's Son who died for the forgiveness of our sins. First step is we choose. If he had said, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. Now me, I'm going to do what I want. Right? How much power would that have had? Now, my kids, they're going to do what I say, not what I do. finger wag. How much power does that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, if you're not a Christian, but you understand that Jesus died for you, that His blood is what washes away sins figuratively today, that as Jesus was buried in the grave and rose from that grave to live eternally, we are buried in baptism, Romans chapter 6, and we are raised from a watery grave to walk in newness of life. If you understand that and you've not been baptized, you can be this morning. There's water behind us. Garments are ready. You can be baptized. Or if you have been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, but like many of us, something has gotten in the way, then you need to pray God to forgive you. If you've sinned against someone, you need to go to them and say, I am so sorry. I messed up. I was wrong. And don't look to put an asterisk next to it and say, here's 12 reasons why you irritated me and I did that. Just ask forgiveness and get it right with a person, get it right with God. Or maybe you've sinned against the kingdom. Maybe your life has been so bad that people know about it all over the place and you want this entire church to pray for you. Whatever we could do to help you this morning, pray for you or baptize you this morning, we want to do that. And today, decide, will you serve God while we stand and sing?